We'll read Psalm 82 responsively. God calls the judges into his courtroom. He puts all the judges in the dock. Enough. You've corrupted justice long enough. You've let the wicked get away with murder. You're here to defend the defenseless, to make sure that the underdogs get a fair break. Your job is to stand up for the powerless and prosecute all those who exploit them. Ignorant judges, head in the sand judges. They haven't a clue to what's going on. And now everything's falling apart. The world's coming unglued. I commissioned you judges, each one of you, deputies of the high God. But you've betrayed your commission, and now you're stripped of your rank, busted. Oh God, give them their just deserts. You've got the whole world in your hands. A reading from Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 23 through 29. Am I not a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Can anyone hide out in a corner where I can't see him? Am I not present everywhere, whether seen or unseen, says the Lord? I know what they're saying, all these prophets who preach lies, using me as their text, saying, I had this dream, I had this dream. How long do I have to put up with this? Do these prophets give 2 cents about me as they preach their lies and spew out their grandiose delusions? They swap dreams with one another, feed on each other's delusive dreams, trying to distract my people from me, just as their ancestors were distracted by the no-god Baal. You prophets who do nothing but dream, go ahead and tell your silly dreams. But you prophets who have a message from me, tell it truly and faithfully. What does straw have in common with wheat? Nothing else is like God's decree. Isn't my message like fire, says the Lord? Isn't it like a sledgehammer breaking a rock? Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, I've come to start a fire on this earth. How I wish it were blazing right now. I've come to change everything, turn everything right side up. How long for it to be finished? Do you think I came to smooth things over and make everything nice? Not so. I've come to disrupt and confront. From now on, when you find 5 in a house, it will be 2, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against bride and bride against mother-in-law. Then Jesus turned to the crowd. When you see clouds coming in from the west, you say, storm's coming, and you're right. And when the wind comes out of the south, you say, this'll be a hot one, and you're right. Frauds, you know how to tell a change in the weather, so don't tell me that you can't tell a change in the season, the God season we're in right now. The gospel, or is it really the gospel of the Lord?
Praise you, O Christ.
It's times like this one wonders why one wants to preach, right? So grace and peace to you from God, who meets us as our Creator, as Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, and as Holy Spirit who gathers and inspires us for mission and ministry. Amen. I see Pastor Morgado out there. You, come on up, Judith. Anyway. When I was in my first call in San Jose, I visited the pastor of an independent Baptist congregation because I was encouraged to do that since I was going to begin a process of knocking on doors. And I wanted to get acquainted with this fellow pastor in the neighborhood and inform him that I was developing a new congregation by going door to door to meet people and tell them about this new congregational development. I also wanted to learn about this independent Baptist congregation so that I can share information with folks who expressed an interest in attending this type of congregation. This Baptist pastor invited me into his office. I sat down, and before we shared any information, he asked me if I believed in a seven-day creation. He then asked if I agreed with the theory of evolution, and I realized I was in the midst of what would be known as a theological interrogation. And I understood what he was asking, and I figured, well, I know what the answers are. So we went on down the list, you know, do I believe in the Bible? Do I believe in, you know, the bodily resurrection of Jesus? And the list went on. And at the end of this theological interrogation, this Baptist pastor informed me that he wouldn't be able to have fellowship with me because I accepted the theory of evolution. Nothing else. I had all the other answers, but evolution. He then showed me the door and said, goodbye. Shut the door behind him. I was frustrated and upset about what happened with this particular Baptist pastor. Personally, I'm of the opinion that we Christians are called to be one together in the body of Christ. And if each of us confesses that Jesus is Lord and Savior, then, in my opinion, we can have fellowship, share Jesus with each other, and even do ministry together. And did you notice that did Jesus do it a theological interrogation of the 12 disciples? No. Anyway, in Jesus Christ, there is more that unites us than divides us. Thank God I'm not an independent. I shouldn't say that. Anyway, so you can imagine what I'm thinking and feeling every time I read today's gospel reading from Luke. And let me share with you that reading again, because if my stomach is churning, you might as well churn with me, right? Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. And you may be wondering, what kind of fire is this? Why does Jesus want to set everything on fire? Do you think that I have come to bring peace on the earth? Yes. No, I tell you, but rather division. And from now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law. And you were at a wedding, weren't you? And daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. So people know how to forecast the weather to a certain degree. And then Jesus says, you hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of sky and earth, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? They're missing out on the signs. I mean, Jesus is there among them, and they're missing out on the signs. So after reading these words of Jesus, I can't help but focus on the vivid words about division being caused by Jesus. And I can't help but ask, what is this division? What is Jesus' message and purpose of his mission? Now, at this point, let's take a closer look at division caused by Jesus. And the reality is that Jesus was a controversial figure in his day. His presence, his mission, and his ministry created a stir among the high priests, Pharisees, temple priests, the Sadducees, scribes, Herod, people on the street, zealots, and even the Romans. And there was a division of opinion about him among even Jesus' contemporaries. Was Jesus really the Messiah or not? Or maybe he was a prophet. Are the stories true that he healed people or that he raised Lazarus? And why does he take the law into his hands? Or does he really follow the law? Or is he creating a new law? By what authority does Jesus forgive a person? We thought that this was God's responsibility. Who is this man? Even Jesus' followers argued among themselves and were divided at times. When Luke wrote his gospel, the early church was divided into all sorts of different congregations scattered throughout the Mediterranean world. Paul dealt with this unity in the church in Corinth. There was controversy about whether a Christian needed to become a Jew first before they can become a follower of Jesus. There were theological differences, and there were communion practices that actually excluded people. And today, all I have to say is the word denominations. And need I say more about division among followers of Jesus Christ? And you know who's at the head in terms of encouraging denominationalism? We are Americans. That's part of our legacy to Christianity. And unfortunately, division among Christians is a reality. And we are the ones who create these divisions. Congregations split over differences of opinion or interpretation or whatever position they want to split over. And I can assure you that Christians know how to fight dirty. And we even dare to say that we divide in the name of Jesus. We say Jesus is on our side because Jesus wants us to divide. How's that for a misuse of Jesus, huh? As Christians, we become our own worst enemies when we divide and exclude fellow Christians and when we fail to be in fellowship because of disagreements. Or we think that we are the only correct Christians. Or how many of us have heard those jokes about who's really in heaven, right? And of course, as Lutherans, we say, oh, of course, the Lutherans. And then, of course, Peter would say, but don't say it too loud because on the other side of the wall are the Catholics, right? I mean, you've heard those jokes any number of times. And in light of our divisions, in light of what we do in the name of Jesus, in light of our human fallenness, our shortcomings and our failures, and our broken relationships, I am sure Jesus became exasperated, frustrated, and upset. Yet, in the midst of all that, Jesus was willing to come to be one of us and to live among us. I think this is why Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Jesus brought fire, and fire here means a couple of things. One, you know, if you want to separate the dross from the gold, what do you have to do? You use fire. Fire is used to clean up creation and humanity and to get God's house in order. So Jesus came. When that word fire appears here, it's to purify. Or back to, again, confession. But then we know something about forgiveness. And then fire also means God is going to be present. We're not alone or left to our own devices. God is among us, present, and working with us, even though at times we act as if God is not present. That's one of the things that drives me batty. We know, but we don't act like it at times. And when Jesus spoke of his baptism, he was talking about the cross, about the crucifixion. Remember, in this part of Luke's gospel, where's Jesus on his way to? Jerusalem. He set his face towards Jerusalem, and we know what awaits Jesus in Jerusalem. He's willing to die. But then, through the cross, Jesus died. But then, in order to get to what comes next, he rose to break the bonds of sin, to reconcile us to God, to reconcile us to each other, to transform us, to love our neighbors and ourselves, and to bring us together. Imagine that. He died and rose to bring us together. In other words, Jesus came to clean house, to bring God's kingdom into the world and into our lives, to change our way of living and to refocus us on forgiveness, love, peace, and reconciliation. He may be saying division, But simultaneously, he's reminding us that what is the purpose of this mission and ministry? Jesus came to bring us together so that we can be in relationship and be in community together and be in relationship with God. Then Jesus challenged everyone to see and experience the kingdom of God. The kingdom has come near in the person of Jesus. Do you not see what God is doing through Jesus among us and in us? Jesus pointed out, you know the signs to predict the weather. Clouds coming from the west, therefore wind, and then winds blowing from the south. And like the weather, do we not see the signs of God's coming kingdom? Or are we blind to that? I mean, Jesus is trying to remind the folks of his day. Open your eyes. See for yourselves. You notice this, why don't you notice the coming of God's kingdom? Don't we realize that the kingdom of God is near in the person of Jesus Christ? Don't we realize that the kingdom of God is here to bring people together and not divide us? Don't we see that Jesus is changing and transforming us for a new way of life? So what does this kingdom way of life look like? What are the signs? Well, first of all, you know, God's peace and justice will prevail in the midst of this messed up world. We see God at work, and we are called to be a part of that. Or we're capable of loving each other. Today I don't love you, and tomorrow I will. Well, the challenge happens to be we keep doing it. I mean, 61 years of marriage, that's got to be a sign of the kingdom of God for the Bowers, right? Think about that, okay? Or a wedding. I mean, how many of us have been to all these weddings? And, you know, it's pretty amazing that people are willing to still make a commitment to one another in love and marriage. You know, and I think that is a sign of the kingdom. Or people of all backgrounds will come together and live together. Every congregation is a diversity of people coming together, living together, working together. That's a sign of the kingdom. Or reconciliation and forgiveness is possible and will be the norm. I mean, that's what we're striving to be. You know, we're not here to beat up on each other and get even an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I mean, that's not what we're about. We're really about making it work. I mean, I look at the Bowers right now. It can happen, right? I mean, if two people can do for 61, what can we do as a congregation? And as I took a look around, you know, a number of us are in marriages and we keep working at it. Even those who have been divorced, you know, they keep working at it in terms of their relationships. I mean, that's part of being part of the kingdom of God. I mean, when we gather together, we are a sign of the kingdom. Where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, Jesus is among us. As a congregation, God's kingdom is among us and comes to us every time we gather. Another way to look at and for the kingdom of God is this observation by the Roman Emperor Julian, who said, "The godless Galileans feed our poor in addition to their own." Did you get that? The godless Galileans feed our poor in addition to their own. And that's a sign of the kingdom of God. And this congregation has a history of trying to do that, whether it be through the interfaith food ministry, whether it be hospitality house, whether it be Habitat for Humanity, or whether it be the Booth Center for Families, and so on and so forth. And we got to keep on doing that, because every time we do something like that, that's a sign for the people around us to notice that the kingdom of God is present among us. As disciples of Jesus, we welcome all people. We want to be in relationship with all people, and this is a sign of the kingdom of God. I recall a Lutheran congregation in the Seattle area. It formerly was, well, they started out as a Norwegian Siemens church. And when you walk into their worship area, one of the things one would notice is up in the nave, or in that worship area where everybody sat, up at the middle of the worship area, look up, there's a model ship hanging up there. If you've been to one of these kind of congregations, these Scandinavian congregations that remember their Siemens roots or seafaring ways, you know, it's either there or out in the narthex. There's a ship out there, a reminder that they are people of the sea, and that's where they came from, and that's their roots. And then late 1975, after the fall of, you know what city? Saigon. People were leaving Vietnam by boats, other people, boat people. And this particular congregation in Seattle recalled their history of their ministry and their mission to people who came by boats. And they said to themselves, you know, we've always ministered to people who came by boats. And they decided, as they recalled their history, that they will minister again to people who come by boat. So they started a refugee ministry. This Lutheran congregation started a refugee ministry to Vietnamese who are leaving Vietnam. And as a result of that refugee ministry, they start their own Vietnamese congregation in Seattle. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. That's what it's about. We are disciples of Jesus who constantly look for signs of the kingdom of God. And we work and minister to help make that kingdom of God come alive in this world and in this neighborhood. The tagline for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is God's work, our hands. And when God is at work, the kingdom comes alive, and our hands make it to be shared with those around us. Peace Lutheran Church can be and is a sign that the kingdom of God is near and among us. So the reality is, yeah, divisions exist, and unfortunately, people in the name of Jesus make those divisions happen. But you and I know otherwise. It isn't Jesus that's causing these divisions. So don't allow these divisions to discourage us. Remember, Jesus keeps coming and bringing us together. Through Jesus, the kingdom of God is near. So allow Jesus to love us, forgive us, and purify us. And through Jesus, this kingdom is alive among us and in every one of us. Here's another sign of the kingdom of God among us. I never thought in my lifetime that I would be part of a Lutheran church body which brings together Germans, Finns, Norwegians, Swedes, Danes, Lithuanians, Hungarians, Estonians, Latvians, Slovaks, and keep in mind that these were natural enemies in Northern Europe. I mean, they waged war against each other, and now they're all part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. In addition, Native Americans, a whole different group of Asians, African Americans, Native Africans, Latinos, Hispanics, Palestinians, Arabs, immigrants, refugees, and a wide range of other Americans are all part of this Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. So this church body is a sign of what God really is doing in bringing people together. And don't let anybody, especially politicians, tell you otherwise. This is what the kingdom of God is about, and that's what we stand for as a church body, because this is God's work, and this is our hands. So God, through Jesus Christ, is hard at work. Together, we are a sign to all people that the kingdom of God is near and here. And Jesus is our way to life, and it's the way for our life together. Amen.